one of the most overdone and annoying arguments in modern Christmas times is the movie Die Hard a Christmas movie? It made me think, what does it actually take to make something a Christmas movie? Yeah, unfortunately, because I'm a hypocrite, Die Hard will be included in the list of movies. But yeah, what makes a Christmas movie? Disclaimer, we here at Smartass Supernova are not experts on anything. We are just merely fans talking out of our asses. We appreciate any comments. Don't get offended and enjoy the show. It's Friday night. It's a couple weeks before Christmas. Enjoying some alcoholic beverages. Mary's here.
Hello, everybody. Oh. I'm bringing my podcast voice.
I'm embarrassed for the both of us.
You're just jealous.
Anyway, can't you just feel the Christmassy mood out there?
Oh, I can, Eric. Ho, ho, ho.
I'll stop.
All right, thank you.
But maybe I won't. All right, now I'm done.
I was watching Screen Rant the other day, and they brought up the Die Hard thing again and blah, blah, blah. But what they did, and they said, gave a list of a bunch of stuff, and I added my own stuff, and I figured these are things that will make or break if a movie is a Christmassy movie, and me and Mary's movie choices, opinions, things we like are so vastly different. Mary would be the traditional Christmas movie.
I think that's fair.
And I am like the kick-ass Christmas movies. Yeah! That was me with my tongue out. And fingers in the air, devil horns in the air.
If you're going to do that, I'm going to talk in my podcast voice.
Okay, I'll stop. Anywho, we're going to go over what makes a movie a Christmas movie. So, first thought, when it comes to a Christmas movie, are we going to go with like the Senate's idea on like, what's a porno? What's pornographic? Is it, you'll know it when you see it? Nah, that's no fun. I got a list. And we agreed upon this list of things that would make a Christmas movie a Christmas movie. And I think we're going to go over each movie. We're going to select three movies each. We're going to check and you know, in these. Oh, I dropped my pen. Yes, we are drinking. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking bourbon.
I'm drinking Bud Light Seltzer because I got to keep the blood sugar down.
this is 40.
So we're going to go through this checklist. There's six, and we're going to go over each six categories that we're going to, you know, decide. And I think, what, four out of six would make it a Christmas movie?
Okay.
I think four out of six would make it a Christmas movie. And we'll go over it right now. So we're going to start out with each category that we're going to judge each movie, whether it fulfills these Christmas movie criteria. And I'm sorry, we're going to do it five because we are combining one, the first one. So does the movie provide a Christmassy or a warm, fuzzy, comforting feeling?
But this is what I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. Do we know for sure?
Yes.
What the difference is between a Christmassy feeling and a warm fuzzy? Are they mutually exclusive? Or are they different? Christmassy could be hopeful, get you in the mood for the season, whereas warm and fuzzy just makes you feel good about the story. So I think there's a difference there.
Okay, so then we're going to separate them, and we will separate them. So number one will be, does it provide a Christmassy feeling? Does it put you in the Christmas spirit for the season? And the other one is, does you have that warm, fuzzy, comforting feeling of, I get to lay in my blanket on the couch and watch this movie and feel,
and it makes me feel good.
Good. Right. Correct. All right.
So automatically, Die Hard does not reach that category.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll go over Die Hard because everybody's going to talk about Die Hard. There's a lot more movies out there that I like that I consider Christmas movies. All right. So that's two.
Is it The Matrix?
No, The Matrix is not a Christmas movie. Mm. Yeah. Back to the list. Christmas songs. A Christmas movie has to have a number of Christmas songs. And my movies might have more Christmas songs in them than your movies. I've written them down. I've got a list. So we'll see. Number four, Christmas references. So anything that refers to Christmas, a person says, are you going, you know, going Christmas shopping or, you know, something along those lines. And we can point out the references in the movies if you want. You should have prepared. You should have came prepared.
I was working on my podcast voice.
Christmas characters. For example, Santa, Frosty, Rudolph, yes. Actually, Elf is on the back in the background right now.
I think I'd like us to revisit the need to have a Christmas character in it. But we'll let's go from there. We don't have to.
Okay. All right, so number five was Christmas characters. Now number six, this is an overarching overarching type of these movies where you'll have a character, now it could be the main character or not, who makes mistake, is a miser, alone, doesn't have the spirit of Christmas, and they become a better person, they get reunited with their family, they find the true meaning of Christmas, or there's repentance or making amends. So that's the stereotypical Christmas character. Now, before we get started, there's a huge in the anti-Die Hard or other, you know, alternative Christmas movies. Right now, there's a movie that was just released, which I want to see with David Harbour, and I forget the name of it, and I'm not going to look it up because I'm drinking. I think it's called Violent Night, and it's just a bloody action movie.
Like Die Hard.
Well, yeah. Can you stop saying Die Hard? There's many more other action Christmas movies
other than Die Hard.
Yes, there's Die Hard 2, Die Harder. No, there's other ones, and we'll get to them. But when you bring up violence in Christmas movies, it can't be violent. Christmas movies aren't violent. In It's a Wonderful Life, suicide and mental illness, right? Home Alone, plenty of violence in that. And in Santa Claus, Santa dies like 10 minutes into the movie. I did steal all those references from Screen Rant. I just jotted them down. But it did make a lot of sense. Also, yeah, that's right. I'm cribbing.
Spoiler alert.
I'm a spoiler. All right. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to start with one of your films. And then we're going to follow it up with one of our alternative films. I'll go Die Hard second because you got to get Die Hard out of the way. Because, you know.
So, are we listing our films?
No, you can just give me a movie right now. We'll go one for one. But this is more of a compare and contrast. The traditionalist Christmas movies, I mean, you're going to go back to the 40s and 30s. Yeah, you are. All right, whenever you're ready.
Can I use my podcast voice?
You can use your podcast. You want a drum roll while you use your podcast voice for this announcement?
Don't we have a voice? Can't we add that? Let's do this for edit, insert, drum roll. Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I know.
That's good. My first movie.
Yes.
Is White Christmas. Danny Kaye, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney. You can't get any more Christmassy than White Christmas. You've never seen it, have you?
Yeah, you made me watch it. I fell asleep.
That was Sound of Music.
Oh, yeah. It might have been that one, too.
Yeah, I don't think you saw I don't think you saw White Christmas.
White Christmas really isn't about Christmas other than the Christmas song, though, right?
No. It takes place on Christmas.
Okay. So let's go ahead. Does it provide a Christmassy feeling?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I will.
That's where the song White Christmas first came.
Okay. All right. Now, warm, fuzzy feeling, a feeling of comfort.
Of course.
Okay, so I'm going to give that to you because I don't know this movie that well because I think I fell asleep during it.
You have no good taste in movies.
I have plenty of good taste in movies. My movies started after 1970.
My movies started before 1970.
Okay, Christmas songs. I will give you Christmas songs because, yes, White Christmas is a Christmas song. Now, Christmas references.
It takes place during Christmas.
Okay. Do they talk about Christmas?
Yes, they have Christmas trees there. Okay. And then Bing Crosby goes on to a show to ask all of the fellow guys who were in their World War II group to come back to the this inn in Vermont so that they can celebrate the general who owns the inn. And the inn's not doing well, so they need to generate business. So the whole point of White Christmas is having Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby perform all these songs and get all of the old troops back together.
Okay.
So and that happens on Christmas Eve.
Okay, so that's a check for Christmas references. Mm-hmm. Christmas characters. Does it have...
They dress up as Santa in the end.
All right, then we'll accept that. And then finally, what I feel really makes Christmas.
There's no violence. No, actually, that's not true. There is violence. There's war.
Right, because don't they do like a reenactment of a war where like thousands of people died?
No. That's Gone with the Wind.
No.
That's another old movie.
No.
Not all old movies are the same, Eric.
No, but in White Christmas, don't they do like a stage show or a play?
They're taking place overseas in World War II. So that's what you're seeing. That's how the movie opens up.
Okay.
And so they sing White Christmas.
So the war where thousands upon thousands of people died, and it wasn't
like Die Hard. Yes.
Yeah, in World War II was not a violent war at all. Okay. Now finally. Is there a character who makes a mistake?
Yes.
Learns the spirit of Christmas, becomes a better person, reunited?
Yes.
Okay.
All of the above.
Okay.
Yeah. It is the perfect Christmas movie.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with you on this because I don't know.
That's why we're going to watch it this weekend.
Okay, whatever. We'll put up the tree and watch White Christmas. Yes. I'm just going to close your chin here. As you're making... All right, yes. We're going to watch White Christmas. I'm not going to argue with White Christmas. I think going forward, we're going to do a little more description of what the movie is about, a little bit of a plot line so we can point out these things. But White Christmas, that's like one of the classics.
It is. It's one of the classics. It's one of the best.
All right. So that's got all six. So that's going to be one of our standard bearers
It should be the standard to which all movies, not just Christmas movies, all movies are held to. That's what you should be doing, Eric.
Let's get Die Hard out of the way.
Not a Christmas movie.
Well, it gives me a Christmassy feeling every year.
What's a Christmassy feeling?
It makes me feel like I want to get in the mood for Christmas.
Yeah, but your Christmas feeling and my Christmas feeling are two different things.
Well, but it gets me in that Christmassy feeling. Mm. And it also brings me warm, cozy feelings of comfort.
Violence?
Yes.
And the dad from Family Matters?
Reginald Bell Johnson. You could do a lot worse than Reginald Bell Johnson. Christmas songs. Let's see. I wrote down all the Christmas songs in Die Hard. So it opens up with John McClane.
Bruce Willis.
Getting picked up by Argyle.
Argyle.
And he's driving around. He requests some Christmas music. And he puts on Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. First Christmas song. Movie closes with Let It Snow. Let me read this here. Vaughn Monroe. Do you know a Vaughn Monroe?
I don't.
He's the one that sings it. Winter Wonderland is hummed by the aforementioned wonderful Reginald Bell Johnson. Jingle Bells is whistled by Bruce Willis. An Ode to Joy in one of the best scenes in that movie.
That's not a Christmas song.
Yeah, but it's one of those classical... You're a classical music person.
Ode to Joy is not a Christmas...
But
dun, 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 dun. It's also in Sister Act. That's not a Christmas movie. Sister Act 2.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Great, which is arguably better than Sister Act 1.
I can't argue or agree. That's like me taking dirt and dirt with a peanut in it and saying these both taste delicious.
You don't like peanuts?
Christmas songs aplenty. Christmas references. Oh, so many Christmas references.
Oh, I know where you're going.
So many. Number one, when he kills the first terrorist and writes on the shirt, "Now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho." They go to a Christmas party at Nakatomi Plaza. Bruce Willis is coming home to see his estranged wife and kids on Christmas.
Who, by the way, the woman who plays his
Bonnie
wife,
Bedelia, yes.
Played a great character on the TV series Parenthood. It's by far one of my favorite TV series. Side note.
Yes. In one of the best scenes in the movie, John McClane uses Christmas wrapping tape to tape the gun to his back. Christmas references aplenty. Check mark. Christmas characters. John McClane's wife is named Holly. Check.
That's not a
Holly.
That is Holly. Not a Holly. No, there's no. Right. You don't get a check for that.
All right.
You don't get a check for that. That's an X.
All right. I'll give you an X. Her name's Holly.
Sure, her name's Holly, but there's lots of people in this world that are named Holly, and that's not a Christmas reference.
People who make mistakes, misers alone, not the spirit of Christmas, become better people, reunite with their family, or find true meaning of Christmas.
None.
With repentance,
none.
Making amends.
None. None so of them. In the none of those characters. In the Unless it was Professor Snape, but he died.
Alan Rickman.
May he rest in peace.
And I don't know how you cannot say his name without saying Alan Rickman.
I had lunch with him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was he his mate? Did you know he, like, bashed Harry Potter while he was making the
movies?
That's
why Alan Rickman's badass.
Yeah, he is totally badass.
No, I had lunch with him.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I was sitting in the same restaurant with him.
Well, yeah, that's having lunch
but
with somebody.
But he was talking like Alan Rickman.
Anywho. In the beginning of Die Hard, John is estranged from his wife.
Is this when he's wearing shoes or not wearing
shoes?
This is
while he's still wearing shoes.
Still wearing shoes.
He's smug to Argyle. He is.
Who's wearing socks?
He's wearing...
get it? Yeah. Argyle socks. Shouldn't have given me bourbon.
He argues with his wife about her moving out to California and her, you know, using her maiden name in the company. And then this stuff starts to happen. He's going across and fighting his way through, trying to rescue his wife and her coworkers, and his kids are out there, and he's just trying to make amends. And in one of the most heart-wrenching moments in that movie, when he's sitting there and they shoot out all the windows and he has to run through, and he's cutting, his feet are all cut up with the glass, and he pulls out the huge shard of glass out of his, I mean, this is just spells Christmas. He pulls that shard out. And he's talking to Reginald Vell Johnson, and oh my God, why am I drawing a blank on his name right now? Oh, it's killing me. Anyway,
character name?
Yeah, the character's name. And he's sitting there, and in one of those moments of realization, he's like, oh, you know, if I don't make it, and he's like, no, John, you'll make it. Don't be talking like that. And he says, oh, you know, I want you to say apologize to my wife for me and why she would ever go out and marry a bum like me. So he realizes through this ordeal in the Christmas season that his wife, his kids, that's what's important. So that is just plain old, and I know you're looking it up right now.
I think that Sergeant Al Powell.
All you had to say was Sergeant.
Sergeant Al Powell.
Yes.
Is truly the conscious of the film,
he
should
is.
We say.
He is.
And John McClane. Mm-hmm. Are you going to edit that out?
Nope, it stays in the picture, kid.
John McClane in this movie.
Yes.
Is just a cop. He is. You could insert him into any cop film. Insert him into True Lies, which is a great movie. First R-rated movie I saw in the theater. Fell asleep in it, but I was young. You could insert him into, I don't know, what are those other cop movies? The Matrix.
It's not a cop movie.
It's got violence. It's a cop movie.
Now you bring me on to Sergeant Al Powell. You know, you learn his harrowing story of how he accidentally shot a child.
I would like a movie about him.
Oh, yeah, I know. He was amazing.
Was he in Die Hard 2?
Yeah, he just had a cameo.
Was he in Die Hard 3?
No.
Was he in Die Hard 4?
No.
Was he in Die Hard 5?
No.
No. Are there five Die Hards? You
there
don't
are five.
Make multiple Die Hards if it's not a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
Two, maybe you can consider it.
How many Santa Clauses are there?
Way too many. One was way too many.
Oh, I like the first one.
Yeah, no. But he showed up for a few, like a cameo one scene in the second one, but he was already making Family Matters at that moment. Oh. So you know. Okay, so in my opinion, yes. So Al Powell, and then because of this friendship and this holiday bond that he has with John, takes out his gun at, you know, spoiler, at the end, and saves his friend. And really, when you think about it, this is, if you could take the picture of the balding white cop and the overweight black cop just becoming friends during Christmas, it melts my heart. It does. Melts my heart. If only the world was like Die Hard. That's five.
It's not five.
That's five. 1, 2, 3, 4. I gave you Christmas characters. It doesn't have any. Even though his wife is named Holly. I conceded on that one.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Christmas movie.
It's not a Christmas
Check.
Movie. I,
Check.
No, I thought this was a discussion.
It is a
and
discussion.
A debate.
And we just discussed
and you
how
created,
it's a Christmas
you
movie.
You created the criteria. And that's like the amount of things that needed to happen. Like, it was like tailored appropriately for him. He went to California knowing this. This isn't a turn of events.
What are you
events.
Trying to tell me? People in California can't have Christmas?
No, they don't like Christmas.
I'm pretty sure there's people in California that will light, you know, put lights on their palm trees and stuff. Okay. Well, why don't you now tell us, we'll go over your second proof of what a Christmas movie is, and we'll examine it.
I struggled with this because there are movies I watch around Christmas time.
Yes.
The really only true movies that I think are like in my world that I watch, like I can name 100 movies. The ones I like, I watch often around this time of year because they give me the Christmassy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to talk about them here. Like, I don't want to talk about Love Actually because, and let's just Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Wonderful, right?
Well, Alan Rickman is just a wonderful Christmassy type actor.
Yeah. Harry Potter, too. Christmas movie.
Sure.
And then I also love The Family Stone, which is also around Christmas. But that movie makes me cry, so I can't talk about it. So I'm going to talk about another movie that I watch every year around this time. And it is a Sandy B starring movie with the president, the only president of the United States, Bill Pullman, While You Were Sleeping. Now, have you watched this movie?
I think I was sleeping.
I don't know how we're together still.
I don't know. Because you put your movies on and I go to bed?
I don't understand why we're talking about this anymore.
Okay. So talk about your movie.
While You're Sleeping is a classic romantic comedy Christmas time movie. Sandra Bullock, probably at the beginning-ish, height-ish of her... No, not height, but it, like, this
she's
was...
already... No, by that time, she's already made her best two movies.
Oh, God. Speed and...
Speed and Demolition Man.
And the one... The internet one.
No, Speed and Demolition Man.
The Lake House? Speed and the Lake House?
No, Speed and Demolition Man.
The Blind Side?
Yes. All right, continue with your movie here.
While You're Sleeping is a delightful tale of a woman who is... in essence, orphaned. Her mother and father both passed away. She is working at a toll booth, and every day she sees this man. And ladies, don't we all do this at one point in our lives, have fantasized about what it would be like to marry the person, this crush that you have that you'd never talked to? I know you have. Eric, I'm looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're lucky because that crush is me.
Carry on.
Every day she sees this guy come on to the subway. It takes place in Chicago. And she thinks, oh, this is the guy for me. I love him. And he gets mugged one day, and it happens to be on Christmas. And she saves him. He falls down on the tracks. The muggers get away. And she goes, oh, no, muggers. And then she jumps onto the train tracks, saves him. And he gets a concussion or something. And he goes to the hospital. He has memory loss, and she falls in love with his family. And through that, he wakes up, he's got amnesia, and she falls in love with him, or he falls in love with her, but she actually falls in love with his family, and that being Bill Pullman, who is his brother, hilarity ensues. It all takes place around Christmas. It gets the Christmassy feeling because it takes place on the actual holiday. They talk about it, and it is that she goes over there to open presents. So it's why aren't you checking boxes?
Oh no, because we haven't gotten to the actual parts where we check the boxes yet.
Let's talk about the boxes then.
Well, let's get to the boxes. Right. I'm glad you chose a movie that takes place during Christmas, and is it not technically a Christmas movie as we think, like Elf or A Christmas Story would be a Christmas movie.
Oh, it's
a movie
that I don't takes like the place. Christmas Story. Right, but it's like around like Christmas.
Well, you're wrong on that, but.
That I don't like A Christmas Story?
Yeah, that's
right. I'm wrong that I don't like A Christmas Story?
That's right.
Welcome to our dinner people. Our dinner table, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we talk about on a daily basis.
All right, but I'm glad because now I'll going to use one of the movies. I was going to put my movie last. But since you're going to take a movie that takes place during Christmas, so will I.
But everything about it is Christmas, though. It's the family.
So, all right. So is my movie. So, okay. While you were sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Not just sleeping watching the movie, ladies and gentlemen. It's actually the title.
It's an amazing movie.
Does it give you a Christmassy feeling?
Yes.
Okay. So, and
she's got to lug her Christmas tree up to her apartment, and she makes a perfect, and exact appropriate comment, which is, you can order $10 worth of Chinese food, and they deliver that to you, but you get like a $50 Christmas tree and you have to bring that home yourself. Does that make sense? No. Injustice.
Okay. And I'm assuming since it's a Sandra Bullock rom-com, it's going to give you a warm, cozy feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Bill Pullman gives me the warm, fuzzy feeling.
You know.
And it's got the grandpa from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Peter Boyle?
Yes. And it's got the chick from Sister Act in it.
I don't think you can say chick these days.
I'm a chick. I can say it. Oh, okay. I'm allowed to.
Who's the chick from Sister Act?
The redhead. Do you remember the redhead? She's got kind of like a weird voice.
Yeah, I don't
know. She gets your ear pierced.
I didn't.
It's a good movie.
Didn't stick Sister Act to memory. So.
Sister Act 2.
That's even less.
If you want to be someone,
yeah.
You want to go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention.
Christmas songs is while you were sleeping have Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do your research? Mm-hmm. It has Christmas songs. What Christmas songs does it have?
We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Oh, okay. Well, that is a Christmas song.
And there's other ones in the background.
So I'll give you a check.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas references. Well, you just
it
mentioned
it. It takes place on Christmas.
Christmas characters. It does not have Christmas. Is there a Santa?
There's a Jewish godfather. His name is Sal. I'd say that's a Christmas character.
No,
it's a New York Christmas character.
If his name was Jesus or
Sal.
So
there are Christmas characters throughout.
That's getting a no from me.
But you don't.
That's gets a no for me.
I don't agree with you.
You're gonna. And then okay. So is there a person who makes a mistake, a miser, and a person who's alone, doesn't know the spirit of Christmas, that becomes a better person, reunited with family, or find a true meaning of Christmas? Okay, and that is?
That's the guy that fell, like Peter. His name is Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Peter falls on his tracks, and before this, he is not a very nice person.
Okay.
And when he wakes up, he realizes that his love of his life is Sandra Bullock, and it's because of her and her love and everything that she's brought to him and his family that he's going to change his ways.
Is that Bill Pullman?
No. Mm-mm. No, his brother. The brother that fell.
Oh, she doesn't wind up with Bill Pullman?
No, she does end up with Bill Pullman.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because Bill Pullman... Was it his Independence Day?
Oh, he was so good in that movie.
Yes,
Is that a Christmas movie?
No, that's a 4th of July movie.
That's like the only 4th of July movie, right? No, that's not true. 1776. Great musical.
The Sandlot.
That's a Christmas
movie? That does work out. So we're 3 for 3 right now on Christmas movies.
Well, Die Hard's not a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is. It passed the criteria. This criteria, two of your movies have both passed this criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Same criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Second up in my murderer's row of Christmas movies.
Oh, God.
Lethal Weapon.
No!
Yeah!
Eric, no!
Yeah!
No!
Does it give me that Christmassy feeling?
No.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Does it give me that warm, fuzzy comfort feeling? Yeah, it does. So let's explain, and then we'll go into Christmas songs from here.
Wait, the original Lethal Weapon?
Yeah. Yeah. Takes place during
the dark early.
I was leaving this one for last because when I was actually writing down and going through the plot, I realized, oh, it's really only takes place during Christmas. But then I was like, well, if you're going to use while you were sleeping.
But that's a Christmas movie.
Let me explain Die Hard. And it's as Christmas as.
Die Hard or Lethal Weapon?
I mean, Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon is as Christmas as while you were sleeping.
I don't think so.
A movie opens up with the song Jingle Bell Rock. As they're going across Los Angeles, and it winds up upon this girl who's obviously in really bad problems.
Renee Russo?
No, it's not, that was Lethal Weapon 3. Oh. I'm talking, this was, I forget, she wasn't a famous actress, and she leaps to her death. There's a lot of drugs.
Oh, that's sad.
And then that's what starts this movie. So then we happen upon Martin Riggs, played by Mel Gibson, who in this holiday season is suicidal, crazy, much like another holiday classic, It's a Wonderful Life, where the main character is suicidal, dealing with...
way later in the... Are we going to go into It's a Wonderful Life discussion because of this?
No. I'm just making parallels. Anyway, he had lost his wife. He's a little bit crazy. He's suicidal. He's got the gun to his head, and he's...
Jackie Swanson was the name of the actress.
Oh, okay. Cool. She was only in the movie for about 30 seconds.
And she did her own stunt, according to IMDb.
Oh, okay, cool. And he meets his partner, the good old...
Riggs?
No, Mel Gibson is Riggs.
Uh-oh.
Murtaugh is Danny Glover.
I'm too old for this.
And if you want to make it any more Christmassy, I handed out pictures of me and Danny Glover as gifts last year to people. What picture of me and a famous person will go out this year? We'll find out. So, we go on.
Apologize to Danny Glover.
Oh, there was nothing more crazy in my life. He goes, hey, Eric, come here. Like, because you give them their name, and then he calls out the name when he goes to sign your thing. I was like, oh, man, it's Danny Glover.
And he said your name.
Hey, Eric. And I was like, yeah, it's me. I don't know what to do. So, yes.
And that picture shows it, because you're so awkward in it. You're like, ah.
I'm awkward in all my pictures, if I'm with a famous person or not.
What about with me?
Yes, I'm awkward in all my pictures. It's probably because I might be on the spectrum all somehow.
Right, let's keep going.
Okay. Or it's adult ADHD, either.
Onwards.
Anyway, they team up. They're on their noirish, you know, police detective, you know, crime solving caper. And then there's this action scene where he's chasing down this bad guy in a Christmas tree lot. So Christmas trees, Christmas references. Yes, please. And, you know, so let's go over Christmas songs that are in this movie. Oh, let me get to my list here. Notes.
I can't believe this.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Christmas songs in Lethal Weapon. It opens with Jingle Bell Rock. There's I'll Be Home for Christmas with Elvis.
That's a sad song.
Silent Night, First Noel, Deck the Halls, Jingle Bells. They're all in there. You can check it on the IMDb. Anyway, they go through solving this murder. One of the bad guys is played by the great Gary Busey, named
Gary Busey's in that one?
Yeah, he's the big head, you know, head bad guy. He's the muscle bad guy.
Yeah.
Played by, and he plays a character named Mr. Joshua. And he fights Mel Gibson on, you know, in Murtaugh's front yard during Christmas, and the Christmas lights are in the background and they're fighting. And the movie ends with Mel Gibson, Martin Riggs, the character there, going to his now best friend, partner, Murtaugh, and his family's Christmas dinner. And as they're standing outside, Riggs hands him a gift. And it's a bullet with a little bow across it, with a bull around it. And it's the hollow point bullet that he used to have in his gun to make in a hollow point to make sure if he did the deed, it would have, you know, it would have stuck. And he hands it to Murtaugh as a gift for Christmas, saying he doesn't need it anymore. And then they go into the Christmas dinner, and then there's the dog and the cat. They're arguing, and everybody's like, oh.
He gives him a bullet,
yes,
that would actually, like, really make sure that he doesn't make it through his attempt, and he hands it to someone else and says, this is for you.
Right, because...
So that person can do that?
Because he's no longer alone. He's found family. But he's found that... Because it's not just, here, I'm handing you a bullet. It's a symbolism.
It's a suicide mission.
It's the symbolism of, I don't need this bullet anymore. I'm giving it to you to say, hey, look, because of everything we've been through and your family that's helped take me on and everything that we were together, now we're family. I'm not alone. I don't need this bullet anymore because I'm no longer questioning and killing myself.
It feels like people should be talking more about Lethal Weapon then versus Die Hard. Lethal Weapon is more so of a Christmas movie than Die Hard. Like, Die Hard's like a comedy.
So we're going to go no on the Christmas characters, because I can't think of any Christmas characters. Christmas songs, yes. And people who misers alone, they find a... So that's another 5 out of 6. Lethal Weapon, Christmas movie. We're 4 for 4.
I think we have to figure out that there needs to be... another item here could this movie take place any other time other than Christmas with the plot work? I think that's the litmus test. Like, that's what makes a Christmas movie, okay. Right?
All right, so we're going to add number 7. Take place...
Could this movie work any other time than Christmas? Yeah.
So White Christmas...
obviously not.
Yeah, okay, so White Christmas, it would... Right. While you were sleeping.
No.
Right.
Right. So,
but we still.
No. I'm saying it couldn't take place any other time than Christmas.
Somebody can't get hit by a train in October.
And all the family being there and being around the holidays.
People aren't going to show up. Somebody gets hit by a train.
No. Sometimes I got stuff to do.
It's still going to pass as a Christmas movie. I'm going to say no on that one. Die Hard would only take place during Christmas.
Die Hard because it's during a Christmas holiday. I get it.
Right. Yeah. Lethal Weapon could take place any other time. It could, but...
It's not a Christmas movie.
No.
With this extra layer, we have to layer things up.
Yeah, and we're layering it, and it's still getting a check, and it's still a Christmas movie. On to your third Christmas movie. Number 3.
You're annoyed because I've realized that you've set...
Yeah, but
you're creating this for yourself.
But the plots are essential. Die Hard and Lethal Weapons plots are essential during Christmas.
I think because it's picking action movies because people are.
My next movie is not an action movie. Your third movie, please.
My third movie is one that you like as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
Yes.
Got an action star in it.
Okay.
And it's called The Family Man.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. This will go right. Do your quick little.
It is a Christmas, in essence, a Christmas Carol, right?
It is a Christmas Carol.
More of like a Scrooge kind of Scrooge can be here in the
movie. Oh no!
But it's Nicolas Cage realizing and he's got all the money in the world. Great performance by Don Cheadle. We don't even talk about that at all.
Don Cheadle's good in everything.
Everything he does. That's true.
Even when he did those the football commercials,
That's by far one of my favorite commercials ever. Mm-hmm. That and the Volkswagen commercial. Ugh. He goes, hey, ready, Grandpa? He goes, ready, boo-boo. Oh, it's a great commercial. Look it up. It's good. The Family Man, though, is all about him recognizing that maybe he had a glimpse, right, of what his life was like. So he had everything he had in the world, and he let this one girl go in college, chose money over love, and then one night he gets the opportunity to have a glimpse of what his life could be had he gone down that path, and he had the family, and he had all those things. And at the end of the movie, obviously, the glimpse is over, and he looks for, spoiler alert, Tia Leone again, and who knows what happens, but at the end of the movie, it looks like they might be reconciling and going towards something. That movie takes place on Christmas. There's Christmas music throughout.
Correct.
There's a Christmas party.
Yep.
He is a character who recognizes that he needs to change because the path he's on is not good.
Mm-hmm.
What am I missing? It gives me the warm, fuzzy feelings.
Yep. Repentant.
And it really would not work in any other time other than Christmas.
The only one...
That is the most Christmas movie that we've discussed right now.
Yeah, that's true. And I think this is the most one we can agree on. The one I was questioning was, does it have Christmas characters? Until I thought Don Cheadle's an angel. So,
oh, God, I didn't even think about
that. Yeah, I know. Don Cheadle's an angel. He is an angel. And, I mean, yep, he wakes up.
And there's a cross in the middle of Park Ave.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no... I don't argue with that. I do believe
fans. That's a great
and
movie.
And I really do enjoy that
That's
movie.
That's a great movie. We watched that with Rebecca.
Fantastic performance. Nicolas Cage does a fantastic performance in almost everything he does.
That little girl, too.
Who's that little girl is quite...
Are you an alien?
Yeah. Yeah, she's very cute in that movie.
That's a great movie.
And I also, Taya Leone, for her time, was a smoke show.
Beautiful, talented. And that movie, I almost emulated her a little bit of, like, that's what a professional working woman is like, right? Like, somebody who's juggling it all, had a sick parent, had a family, and just trying to make her own career and just trying to make things work. That movie speaks to me on so many different levels. And there's a cute, adorable dog.
Correct.
And you should sing more. That's the moral of the story. You should sing more to me, because that's what Nick Cage does to Taya Leone.
I'm no Nicolas Cage.
You're better.
No. No. Okay, so we agreed. We fully agreed all the way on that one. No problems. That is our sweet spot. That is where our because it does have the traditional
right
feelings that you like. It does have a little bit of an updated modern thing that I like.
Yeah.
And Nicolas Cage and Taya Leone.
There's also a great picture of the Trade Center, the Twin Towers. So I think it was like 2000. I think it was truly right before.
I'm trying to remember when I first saw it. Probably 99, 2000.
Yeah, I think it was right before then.
Okay, so I'm glad you picked one that we both agreed on so easily, because now here's one that we're both also going to agree on super easily, Gremlins.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. you purposely, I thought you would go with a Muppet Christmas Carol.
No. Why would I go with the Christmas Carol?
Because you like the Muppets.
I do like the Muppets. I don't like that era of the Muppets. It's when Disney first bought the Muppets and messed them up royally.
But we love Disney if you want to advertise with us.
Yes. That's why I place a disclaimer. So Gremlins opens up with a traveling salesman who's looking to buy a Christmas present for his son.
Oh, this hurts my head.
And he goes into a mysterious shop run by Mr. Wing. And he buys this little creature called a Mogwai. And this Christmas present for his son, you have the three rules that, you know, can't get them wet, can't expose them to sunlight, and you can't feed them after midnight. So,
then also the three rules to me. don't feed them after midnight. Don't feed her after midnight.
Don't feed her after midnight. You can't get wet or get exposed to sunlight?
Nope. Bad things happen.
Sunlight will kill you?
Melanoma.
Then we kick off into... Hold on. Notes. Christmas Baby, Please Come Home by Darlene Love. As we go around the snowy town and we meet Billy working in the bank as a teller, played by the wonderful Zach Galligan, who I also met. Didn't get a picture with him, but I met him. Christmassy feeling all over the place. Warm, cozy feeling all over the place when you're not also getting scared. It's actually a lot scarier than I remember. When I saw it as a kid, I loved it. And I saw it when I was a bit older, and I was like, wow, this movie's a lot scarier than I thought it was. So it's a Christmas movie about a Christmas present. Anyway, we get there, and he's got the dog, and he hides the dog underneath the teller line. And then later we find the dog wrapped up outside in the front porch, tied up in Christmas lights. So that's Christmas references
there. That is not a Christmas reference. X that out.
All right, well, I'll give you an X to that
one. Give me an X. No, yeah. I don't agree. No, you're not Xing it, because you're trying to make this a Christmas movie. That's an X.
But it is.
No.
And then, you know, by the mistakes that this kid makes, you know, this late teenager makes, you know, by getting, you know, poor Gizmo wet and then feeding all the other Mogwais, and then they turn into gremlins, and then the gremlins are out there singing Christmas carols in one scene, Christmas references, check. You know, you had one, they're just doing Christmassy things. Then the wonderful Phoebe Cates, and her character gives such a deep, passionate speech about why she hates Christmas. And when she was 9 years old, her father went missing on Christmas Eve, and on Christmas Day he was still missing. And then a few weeks later, they found him dressed up as Santa Claus in the chimney, where he tried to surprise her as a child.
This is not warm Christmas Eve. No.
That gives me warm Christmas Eve.
We're not talking about this anymore. We're done.
Do not take my paper away. No, there's more. And then, as the movie goes on, the gremlins go into the... Apparently, the store Montgomery Ward was a big shopping mall. So, of course, they're going in there, and the big fight at the end happens in the shopping mart. And of course, you know, that's Christmas all over. Consumerism. Anyway, they defeat Spike the bad gremlin. And finally, Mr. Wing shows back up and takes poor Gizmo away and says, "You are not ready to have the Mogwai, but maybe when you get older and more responsible, you can see him again." And that really brings us to the Billy realizes he needs that maturity to handle that pet.
No, you're way off on this.
Christmas. This is all over this movie.
This is a movie that Christmas happens to be around the Christmas time period.
Can it take place any other time of the year?
It can't. No, it can. It can take place. This is not a Christmas movie.
He ain't buying him an Easter gizmo.
How do you not know that?
Because this is not a Christmas present.
This isn't.
That happens.
No. I'm going to give you the opportunity to replace Kremlins.
Yes.
With Home Alone.
No, Home Alone's a Christmas movie.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is.
It's not a Christmas movie.
All right, we're going to do number 7, Home Alone.
Which one?
The first one. Let's go over Home Alone. Not the wonderful one where Donald Trump tells Kevin McAllister which way to go. All right, we don't have to stop it. You don't have to cancel me again. Home Alone. Christmassy feeling, yes.
No. I've watched Home Alone as an adult. And I no longer relate to Kevin as this, like, fun kid who's sticking it to the man. I feel it's a horror movie. It is a horror movie. Think about what that mom went through.
The mom that lost her child on multiple occasions?
Well, we're only talking about one. Oh, we're talking about the first one.
The mother that we're now older than?
That's mean. It's a horror movie, though. When you think about it at our age, looking back at that, it's all about how she... And you think about how they did it. Like, they thought they had the kid. There were so many people who were running. But still, like, helicopter parents these days would never allow that to happen. We would have Find My Friends. He'd be able to text the kid. But back then, that's a horror movie.
That's why today sucks. And you can't have these movies where it's like an air of imagination, where it's like, could you imagine if you got the
lid? That's why movies now take place in the quote-unquote 90s. You can't have technology, can't really plot.
I think.
Or they do like these like future things.
Growing up watching that movie as a kid, it's got that nostalgia Christmas feeling. You got the part with the old man, the neighbor that he was afraid of.
I just had empathy for him.
No, I know.
But I always had empathy for him.
Yeah, well, yeah, because with
actually,
this kid's...
I had empathy for the robbers, too, because they're just trying to get by. It's tough. It's not a good economy. And Joe Pesci, Lethal Weapon, has already been in a quote-unquote Christmas movie. He doesn't need to be in another one.
Christmassy feeling? Yes. Warm, cozy feeling? Yes. John Hughes. Warm, cozy feeling. Christmas songs aplenty. Christmas references, oh yeah. Christmas characters, yeah.
Who's the Christmas character? Oh, the manger scene.
Yeah, there's so many. Jesus.
Who's Jesus?
When they went into church, Jesus was there.
In church?
Jesus is always there. People who make mistakes, misers, the old man, Kevin, at the end, just wants his family back.
You filthy Check. Animal.
Yes. Can it take place any other time during the year? I don't think to the extent it would make the movie as good as it is.
You could copy and paste that in any holiday.
You could, but...
Home Alone on Easter! Home Alone on July 4th! There were firecrackers. It doesn't pass that muster. It doesn't pass that muster.
I think you're coming off as very judgy, my friend. And I'd like to wrap this up with saying,
I'm not going to wrap this up with Mary, you're judging. No, that's not how we're wrapping this up.
No, but I honestly, as I go over all these movies, I'm thinking, you know what? If you like watching a movie during Christmas and it's a Christmas movie to you, who gives a fuck what everybody else thinks? I know, language, whatever. Captain America. Did you just say language? Mm-hmm. It's from Avengers.
You're gonna get a rating on the bottom of this. Apple's not gonna let you go up on your podcast.
Oh, the poor sheeple. Anyway, listen. If you enjoy watching a movie during Christmas, go for it. Who cares if somebody doesn't think it's a Christmas movie? If it's a Christmas movie to you and you enjoy it during Christmas, enjoy it. You know what? Everything you said, if you enjoy it, I'm happy for you. I know you don't want me to enjoy my Christmas movies.
I always want you to enjoy your Christmas movies. They're just not Christmas movies. But if you want to watch these movies during Christmas time, I'm happy to watch them with you.
Okay. Anyway. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Bye.